Welcome to this deep dive. You are joining us for an examination of what I think is, well, one of the most jarring disconnects in modern technology.
It really is. It's a massive issue.
Right. We are looking at the chasm between the visceral human experience of an ethical value like fairness and the rigid mathematical reality of defining that value for an algorithm. So our mission today is to unpack a very specific, profound tension. We are looking at how artificial intelligence basically forces us to mathematically define ethical concepts that we barely agree upon in human society.
Because when we operate strictly in the realm of philosophy or, you know, human sociology, we have the luxury of relying on intuition. We use context, the nuances of human experience, and even shifting cultural norms to navigate ethical gray areas.
We can sort of feel our way through it.
Exactly.
Right.
But when you are building an algorithmic architecture, ambiguity is a luxury you just do not have. A machine learning model requires a specific, quantifiable, objective function. You literally have to translate a fluid, highly debated concept like fairness into rigid binary code.
And in doing so, you inevitably reveal the fault lines in our own moral frameworks. You force decisions that human beings generally prefer to leave unspoken.
Yeah, you bring the subtext right to the surface.
So to really understand how this abstract philosophical problem plays out in the real world, we are going to look directly at a foundational case study from a recent AI ethics workshop. We are examining an artificial intelligence diagnostic tool designed specifically for dermatology.
It's a fascinating piece of technology.
The core function of this tool is to analyze microscopic images of skin lesions, looking at highly granular imperfections or blemishes, and distinguishing between benign growths and cancerous melanomas.
From a technical perspective, what you are looking at is a classic, highly complex image classification problem. The AI, which is likely a convolutional neural network in this case, is trained on vast data sets of labeled images.
Right, thousands and thousands of pictures of skin.
Exactly. And its entire purpose is to recognize the minute, almost imperceptible visual patterns. So things like changes in border symmetry, color variation, microstructures that indicate malignancy. This is an advanced technological tool designed with a singular, noble purpose.
To save lives through early, accurate, and highly scalable detection of skin cancer.
Precisely.
But when we look at the clinical data from the deployment of this tool, the academic abstraction immediately hits the reality of human outcomes. The data reveals a glaring disparity.
A very alarming one.
This AI tool is highly effective, almost remarkably so, at diagnosing lesions on lighter, white skin. But when it is tasked with analyzing darker skin, the diagnostic efficacy drops significantly. I mean, we are talking about a severe degradation in accuracy.
When a disparity like that emerges in the data, the immediate requirement is to understand the root causes without oversimplifying the architecture of the bias. In this specific dermatological tool, the failure vectors break down into two primary intersecting categories.
Let's unpack the first one. How much of this is just the literal interaction of light and human biology at a microscopic level?
A significant portion.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental limitation of physics and optical sensors. The AI relies entirely on a digital camera capturing an image, and that image is essentially a collection of data points dictated by photon reflection.
Right.
Lighter skin intrinsically reflects more light. When you take a microscopic high-resolution image of a lesion on lighter skin, that high rate of reflection yields an incredibly rich, dense pixel profile.
So the algorithm simply has an abundance of structural data to work with.
Yes. Darker skin, by its very biological design, absorbs light. Because a higher percentage of the light is absorbed by the melanin, the camera sensor captures significantly less microscopic detail of the lesion's internal structure.
It's just not bouncing back into the lens.
Exactly. The image simply does not reveal as much granular morphological information for the algorithm's feature extraction process to analyze. It is an epistemic limitation. The data simply isn't there in the same volume.
So the very first hurdle is the physical limitation of digital optical sensors interacting with varying concentrations of melanin. But the researchers at the workshop outlined a second, equally critical failure point that compounds the optical issue, and that is the architecture of the data pipeline itself.
This points to the structural realities of how these diagnostic technologies are historically developed, funded, and deployed. This specific technology, including the vast majority of its initial clinical trials and dataset curation, was primarily localized in Northern Europe and the United States.
Meaning the baseline for normal in this data pool is heavily skewed toward a very specific demographic.
If you are assembling a training data set, based on the standard influx of patients coming into dermatology clinics in those specific geographic regions, you are inherently building a racially skewed data set.
You're capturing the local population.
Right. The machine learning models were trained on a baseline that overwhelmingly represented lighter skin subjects. Consequently, the artificial intelligence became highly calibrated, hyper-specialized even, to recognize malignant patterns within that specific phenotype.
While simultaneously marginalizing darker-skinned phenotypes simply because it had not processed a sufficient volume of examples to learn their specific nuanced visual markers.
It's a classic machine learning trap. The model optimized for the majority class in its training data.
Let's pause and consider what this actually means for the human being sitting in the examination room waiting for a diagnosis. At first glance, looking purely at the data readouts, this is a textbook, undeniable case of algorithmic bias.
It absolutely is.
The AI tool literally provides a better, more accurate medical outcome for white patients than it does for black patients. When you, as a patient or a doctor, encounter that reality, the immediate human experience is visceral. It feels intuitively unfair. It feels like a technological manifestation of systemic discrimination.
That intuitive reaction is entirely valid and deeply rooted in our modern social contract. If we view fairness strictly through the lens of equal performance across demographic lines, if parity is our ultimate metric, this tool is a profound failure.
It's a technology that distributes its life-saving benefits unequally based on skin color.
And in a medical context, where diagnostic accuracy literally dictates survival and mortality, a disparity of that magnitude is alarming and, for many, ethically disqualifying.
But just as we are ready to classify this as a straightforward failure of ethical engineering, the clinical data introduces a pivotal complication. This complication takes what seems like a simple, solvable case of algorithmic bias and turns it into a severe, almost paralyzing ethical dilemma.
To understand the depth of this dilemma, we have to connect the algorithm's performance metrics to the broader landscape of dermatological oncology. We have to look at the underlying biological realities of skin cancer itself.
Right.
In dermatology, the standard scientific metric for classifying skin pigmentation and its response to ultraviolet radiation is the Fitzpatrick scale.
And this scale categorizes human skin into six distinct types, right?
Yes, ranging from type I, which is very light skin that always burns and never tans, to type 6, which is deeply pigmented, dark brown to darkest brown skin that never burns.
The correlation between where a patient falls on that Fitzpatrick scale and their actual biological vulnerability to skin cancer seems to be the hinge on which this entire ethical debate swings.
The biological reality is stark. As skin darkens on the Fitzpatrick scale as you move from type I towards type VI, the risk of developing melanoma and other skin cancers precipitously decreases.
Because melanin is an incredibly effective biological shield.
Exactly. It dissipates UV radiation and protects the DNA in skin cells from the mutations that lead to malignancy. Conversely, individuals with lighter skin, those at the lower end of the Fitzpatrick scale, lack that robust biological protection.
So they are highly vulnerable to skin cancer and epidemiologically suffer a vastly higher incidence and mortality rate from the disease. Which brings us to the central, deeply uncomfortable paradox that the researchers were forced to confront. The AI diagnostic tool works best for the demographic that is biologically most vulnerable to the disease.
And it works worse for the demographic that is least vulnerable to the disease.
The algorithmic bias perfectly, almost unnervingly, maps onto medical necessity.
The optical limitations of the camera sensors and the geographic flaws in the data pipeline, the exact mechanisms that created the racial bias, have inadvertently aligned the tool's maximum diagnostic effectiveness with the specific population that has the maximum medical need.
It is a fascinating alignment of technological flaw and epidemiological reality.
Truly.
I want you, listening right now, to really sit with this irony. Imagine you are reviewing the performance metrics of this software. On one hand, you have an algorithm that performs demonstrably, objectively better for white patients than black patients. On the other hand, you have an algorithm that reserves its absolute highest diagnostic accuracy for the exact patients statistically most likely to develop and die from the disease it is screening for. Does this reality change the human experience of what we call fairness?
It forces us to ask how we define the baseline for ethical technology in high-stakes environments. If the engineering team were to artificially handicap the tool, if they somehow forced it to diagnose everyone with the exact same, perhaps lower accuracy, regardless of skin tone or vulnerability to achieve parity, would that actually be more fair?
Or is fairness deeply contextual? Is the definition of a fair algorithm entirely dependent on the specific threat landscape of the disease it is fighting?
That is the crux of the issue.
To explore how volatile that question is, we need to look at the real-world argument that erupted between the researchers analyzing this exact AI tool. The team had a profound, fundamental disagreement about whether this algorithm should be permitted anywhere near a hospital.
And this debate perfectly encapsulates a classic heavyweight collision in philosophy, deontology versus teleology.
Seeing these theoretical frameworks clash so cleanly in an applied engineering setting is rare. Usually, these are debates reserved for graduate seminars, but here, the researchers were arguing over a piece of compiled code that could dictate patient outcomes tomorrow. Yet two distinct camps emerge from the data review.
Right.
Let's examine the first argument, championed by one of the lead ethicists on the panel. This represents the strict deontological stance. This is the realm of absolute moral rules, duty, and universal principles, regardless of the immediate outcome. What was their metric for evaluating this tool?
Operating from a deontological framework, this researcher posited a rigid, non-negotiable metric. The AI tool must perform with equal accuracy across all standard demographic divisions, specifically race and skin color.
So the core metric of fairness is absolute statistical parity.
Yes. It is entirely divorced from the epidemiological context of disease vulnerability. The argument is that a medical diagnostic tool distributed unevenly along racial lines is inherently unjust, full stop. The biological nuances of skin cancer and the protective qualities of melanin are irrelevant to the moral imperative of equal treatment.
So, under a strict deontological framework, does that mean they have to scrap the tool entirely until it's perfectly balanced?
The ultimate conclusion of the deontological stance is uncompromising. The researcher argued that until the engineering team can prove the algorithm is completely free of racial bias across the entire Fitzpatrick scale, it must not be deployed.
Fairness, in this view, is not a downstream goal to be iteratively worked toward during deployment. It is a rigid prerequisite to deployment. But why is that line so hard to cross for the deontologist? Why not deploy it for the people it helps right now?
Because the underlying logic is that deploying a biased algorithmic system institutionalizes and automates that bias. It legally and medically accepts a standard of care that treats patients differently based on the color of their skin.
It sets a dangerous precedent.
Very dangerous. For the deontologist, the moral duty to provide equal treatment and uphold the principle of non-discrimination supersedes the potential medical benefits the tool might offer to a specific, even highly vulnerable subset of the population. Permitting the bias damages the ethical integrity of the entire medical institution.
Now let's contrast that with the counterargument, which was championed by one of the lead engineers on the project. This represents the teleological, or utilitarian, stance.
Right.
Utilitarianism evaluates the morality of an action strictly based on its consequences. Specifically, its ability to maximize utility, save the most lives, and increase overall well-being. How did the utilitarian camp view the exact same data?
The engineer completely rejected the premise that skin color parity was the appropriate or even ethical metric for fairness in this highly specific medical context.
Yeah.
Instead, they argued that the only proper metric for evaluating the ethics of a diagnostic tool is vulnerability.
You measure fairness by how effectively the tool addresses the actual danger.
Exactly.
Because the tool happens to function best for those who are biologically in the greatest danger of melanoma, the utilitarian argument dictates that it should be deployed immediately. The fact that it is ethically imperfect, the fact that it harbors a measurable, quantifiable racial bias, is vastly outweighed by the sheer volume of lives it can save right now among the highly vulnerable, lighter-skinned populations.
Furthermore, this teleological stance introduces the concept of iterative ethics in software development. The engineer argued that the medical community does not have the luxury of waiting for algorithmic perfection before capturing immense medical utility.
The utilitarian approach says you deploy the imperfect, biased tool to start saving lives immediately.
Then you fix the ethical and technical problems on the march. You use the deployment itself to gather high-quality clinical data on darker skin, continuously refining, updating, and balancing the algorithm while it is already functioning and providing value in the real world.
To crystallize this philosophical divide, the researchers use a brilliant analogy during their debate. It perfectly isolates the friction between strict social equality and utility based on biological vulnerability.
It's a great analogy.
Imagine you have a single glass of water. You are standing in front of two people. One person has not had a drop of water in 24 hours. Their organs are failing, and they are severely dehydrated. The other person just finished drinking a full liter of water and is perfectly hydrated.
The fundamental question of the analogy is, how do you distribute the resource, in this case, the water, or in the case of our hospital, the diagnostic effectiveness of the AI tool, in a way that can be universally agreed upon as fair?
If you adhere to the ethicist's strict deontological definition of equality, fairness demands that you split that next glass of water exactly 50-50. Everyone gets an equal, mathematically precise share of the resource, regardless of their prior state, their current biological need, or the outcome.
Parity is achieved. The equation balances.
But if you adhere to the teleological framework based on vulnerability, splitting the water 50-50 is an absurd, potentially lethal application of fairness.
The utilitarian argues that true fairness or equity in this context means giving the entire glass of water to the severely dehydrated person. You direct 100% of the resource toward the area of maximum vulnerability, ignoring the hydrated person entirely, because doing so maximizes the overall survival and well-being of the group.
When we map that analogy back to the AI diagnostic tool, the dehydrated person represents the lighter skin demographics on the lower end of the Fitzpatrick scale who are biologically highly vulnerable to melanoma.
And the hydrated person represents the darker skin demographics on the higher end of the scale who carry a minimal biological risk.
The deontological researcher demands the AI work 50-50 across both groups before it is allowed in the hospital network, ensuring no group is mathematically favored.
While the utilitarian researcher points out that the tool naturally, albeit accidentally, directs its highest efficacy toward the demographic that is currently dehydrated by medical vulnerability, and therefore withholding it costs lives that could be saved today.
Which brings us back to the core mission of this deep dive. We often hear that artificial intelligence simply inherits human biases. But examining the granular reality of this dermatology tool shows us that is far too simplistic an understanding.
It is.
What AI actually does is force human beings to realize that our own definitions of a value like fairness are entirely contradictory depending on the philosophical framework we happen to be using at the time.
We want our algorithms to be completely free of racial bias to satisfy our societal need for equality. And we want our algorithms to maximize medical utility for the most vulnerable to satisfy our medical need to save lives.
This case study demonstrates that sometimes the physics of optical sensors, the structural flaws of data pipelines, and the raw biology of disease make it mathematically impossible to satisfy both of those human desires simultaneously.
We are forced to prioritize one ethical good over another and code that prioritization into stone.
And that is exactly where we want to leave you today. We want to take this abstract academic debate and place the burden of it squarely on your shoulders. If you are the hospital administrator, you have to make a choice.
You cannot abstain.
You have a new AI diagnostic tool sitting on your desk. The clinical trials clearly show it is significantly less effective for Black patients than it is for white patients. But the epidemiological data also shows it will save thousands of lives among the demographic most likely to die from skin cancer.
So what is the call?
Do you ban a life-saving tool to uphold the absolute principle of strict social equality? Or do you deploy a racially biased algorithm because it maximizes medical utility for the most vulnerable? And as you consider that, consider how far you're willing to extend that logic.
It scales to every industry.
If we accept that a utilitarian bias is ethically permissible in skin cancer screening because it saves the most vulnerable lives, do we also have to accept it in other algorithmic domains? If an autonomous driving algorithm has a slight bias in pedestrian detection due to sensor limitations, but overall reduces traffic fatalities by 50%, do we deploy it?
If a predictive policing algorithm is statistically biased but drastically reduces violent crime in a vulnerable neighborhood, do we accept the trade-off?
When forced to code morality into a machine, where does the exception for utility end, and which version of fairness are you actually willing to live with?